Supporters of Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act say it's a benefit for South Dakotans. They believe it'll not only help low-income residents get needed health coverage, but also stimulate the local economy. Governor Dennis Daugaard has resisted expansion, saying he's concerned the federal government could renege on its promise to pay most of the cost. But last week, the governor made a move that could partially expand Medicaid in the state. He sent a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius asking for permission to cover people earning up to 100% of the poverty line in the Medicaid program. The Affordable Care Act calls for states to expand up to 133% of the poverty line. State health care organizations, including Avera Health, have been advocating for an expansion of the state's Medicaid program. And joining us now is Deb Fisher-Clemens, Avera Health Senior Vice President of Public Policy. And Deb, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Also with us is Bob Sutton, Avera Health Vice President of Community Relations. And Bob, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday as well.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, we'll start with Governor Daugaard's proposal for a partial expansion of Medicaid, and I don't know who wants to begin. Is that something that you think is a good idea? Maybe Deb, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. We do think it's a step in the right direction. We think that it's important because it does do exactly why we want to expand Medicaid, and that is to provide for the poorest folks in our state the ability to access in a timely fashion and through the appropriate channels, health care, and specifically preventative care. And so we agree that what the governor is suggesting is moving in the right direction. We think it needs to go further. We hope that will help us to get those next steps to get it all the way to 133%. But yes, we support what he's doing and look for more action.
Well, Bob Sutton, I think one of the arguments that the governor and others have made on this is that they'd like South Dakota to have the flexibility to tailor its Medicaid coverage to what the state's needs are. Is that something that you agree with or not?
Well, there's no question that the flexibility that is built into anything that you do when you're working with a federal government program is important. The South Dakota Department of Social Services has done an excellent job of administering Medicaid in South Dakota. They do a good job with it, and they're able to do that because they are afforded some flexibility in how they administer it, and they're good at that. What we talk about is the bottom line is we need to cover people. There is a population in South Dakota that is vulnerable. They're without care, they're without access to care, except at the most expensive entry points, and those entry points are walking into emergency rooms. So flexibility is important, but when you get to, if you advocate for too much flexibility, the downside of that can be that the federal government just says, there are certain things we just can't be flexible on. So if we advocate for too much flexibility, then they may just say, we're not going to approve your request for doing it a different way. So it's a fine line you walk, but if we can allow the flexibility to let the Department of Social Services do this right and do it what I call the South Dakota way, people will be served and we will be healthier as a result.
The South Dakota way, what is that?
I say the South Dakota way in just a general that, you know, common sense, that we're efficient, we provide the services in an efficient manner. The relationship between providers and the Department of Social Services is a good one, but it's not without discussions about they think we should be able to do things more lean from time to time, and we work and say here are things that are very important to us. But in the end, it works because we're providing the services to the people that need them the most. So when I say the South Dakota way, I mean it in a general sense, not just DSS, but people sitting around the table, reaching a consensus and compromising and then going out and doing what's right.
Well, Deb Fisher-Clemens, Bob mentioned the emergency rooms. Will an expanded Medicaid in South Dakota lower the health care for the rest of us? The argument is that we're already paying for the uninsured who go to the emergency rooms.
I would say that's very accurate, that we are, through premiums, paying for that care as well as the the fact that we, as health systems in this state, provide a lot of charity care. And so the issue of emergency rooms, we've just been working with the health home, or the health home project, which is a project with DSS to work with folks, low-income folks, Medicaid folks, and work with them very closely. And what we've learned from working with them very closely is that they don't necessarily know that you shouldn't go to the emergency room for your primary care, that you should see a physician, but they see access. The way to get to that is the emergency room. We've actually, in this demonstration project that we've been working on, have seen at least a 19% decrease in our ER utilization with those patients that we're working very closely with and trying to educate about how do you access care in the appropriate way. And we've also seen a decrease in admissions to the hospital because of the fact that we're able to work with them more closely. They know that they need to see their primary care physician. We're doing preventative care. When you use the emergency room as your access point to care, you are not getting any preventative care. And that's really important to our citizens, to make sure that they're getting the appropriate preventative care in all arenas. And so it does save money. Emergency room care is the most expensive care that's provided.
One of the concerns that Governor Dugard has voiced regarding the expansion of Medicaid in South Dakota, concerns about the federal government not being able to make its promised Medicaid payments in the future. And Bob Sutton, given that economies change and we don't know what the future holds, is that a legitimate concern?
You know, it's an excellent question, and the risk of bait and switch, that's what I like to call that, because there is a risk of bait and switch with any federal matching funds. So I would start out and say that with any federally funded program, you have a risk of decreased revenue from the federal government in the future. And Medicaid expansion certainly is on that list. So would highway funding be? So also would highway funding and other things that we receive in partnership with the federal government. But I think one thing that we need to take a look at, while Avera certainly favors expansion and moving forward, and full expansion would be optimal, I think the legislature and certainly this administration could move forward with a federal match if the federal match falls below a certain level. And we're already talking about 7 years out that it would drop to 90% funded by the federal government, 10% funded by the state of South Dakota. If that dropped below that level or a level below that, Carl, you could simply say that the legislation approving this would have a sunset clause and that it would go away. And while you certainly, people say, how can you cover people and then not cover them? I would say that covering a certain segment of the population with preventative care services and medical care for 7 or 8 or 10 years to get them on the way to health and maybe prevent a cycle of unhealthy choices and unhealthy lifestyle would be very beneficial to the state going forward. So if it happened and it fell below the 90% threshold or an 85% threshold, then that would be left up to the administration and the legislature, then you just say, then South Dakota is no longer participating in this expanded population.
And what would that mean, though, for coverage of the people that are then on that program?
It would, you know, and that is obviously a very touchy subject, but it means that they're in the same boat they would be if we don't expand, which means they don't have coverage. So that's my point. If you've got an opportunity to cover a population, and ideally, I think the federal government would stick to their promise, but and that's an ideal world. If they did not, then 10 years from now, when they decide to reduce the amount they're funding this program, then we simply step back and say, you know what, for 10 years we were able to provide preventative care services and health care to this population, and now we're no longer able to, but there was an opportunity for them to get well and to understand preventative care and ideally to move forward. That's a real risk, there's no question, but I think it's a risk that's worth taking.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're discussing Medicaid expansion in South Dakota with Deb Fisher Clemens, Avera Health's Senior Vice President of Public Policy, and Bob Sutton, Avera Health Vice President of Community Relations. And Deb, it sounds like you and others are working with legislators to try to find a way to work out Medicaid expansion.
That is absolutely correct. We just this morning have been meeting with several legislators to share an economic study that was done to demonstrate that as we move forward with this, there is a huge economic impact and a benefit for the state. And as we talk about workforce and the governor's workforce initiatives, we need to be concerned about assuring that we can keep people in the workforce. And if you have the lower income folks that are working and they're sick, they're not healthy, they're not going to be working either. And one of the things, if we aren't able to pay the highest salaries around, maybe the benefit of being able to have health care coverage keeps them in the workforce or brings them into the workforce. So as we look at those opportunities to make sure that we have the healthiest, best workforce, we believe that that is another reason to look at the expansion of Medicaid. So, yes, we're talking with legislators every day to try and provide information, answer the questions they ask, and look at all the opportunities that we have to influence this very important decision as they look at potential legislation and current legislation out there. As they're looking at that, what are the next steps, and how do we influence their movement to work for expansion?
This week, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Rick Wyland said that he wants to expand Medicare, the health system for those older than 65, wants to expand it to all Americans, giving them the choice of whether to buy into the system or stick with private insurance. Bob Sutton, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look at Rick Wyland's proposal, but does that seem like something that could work?
I've certainly read about it in the papers, but I will defer to Deb. She's really been doing this much longer and has a better grasp on his proposal and what the consideration is there.
Yes, Deb?
Well, I do think that there is a population across this country who sees that there's the need for health care for all, and as they've looked at how do you do that, Medicare becomes the example that seems to have worked the best to assure that our elderly citizens are getting very quality health care and in a timely fashion and have that access that they need. So there's certainly a thought process out there that if you want to do that, you should be doing it or could do it for all the population rather than doing the kind of piecemeal approach that is coming out with the states having to make decisions about expanding Medicaid and doing the exchange and all of those things. So it seems like a simple thing and a simple answer. I would say that it's not so simple, but it's there's certainly that group of folks out there who, as they look at the Affordable Care Act and look at how all of the issues that have occurred around the Affordable Care Act, they think there's a simpler way to do it. I think there's a lot of work that would have to be done in that arena, but certainly that's how the process works, and we all look at different options when we have the opportunity.
Healthcare has become such a hot political issue. Just you thinking about the Affordable Care Act, all the debates surrounding that itself, and even discussions of expanding Medicaid in South Dakota and other states. Bob Sutton, from your perspective, what are the dangers of healthcare becoming a political issue, and should it be political to begin with?
Well, in a perfect world, it wouldn't be. But we know that for years, healthcare has been involved, very, very involved in the political arena. And many of those things come from being so closely tied with government programs. I mean, Medicare and Medicaid since the 60s literally have pushed healthcare into the political arena, and it's continually, and of course the regulatory environment that goes along with, you want quality in hospitals, you want to make sure certain things are being done in a certain way. So between departments of health and departments of social services and HHS at the federal level, and then there's the reimbursement model, and the reimbursement model is all dictated and directed by government and government regulations, mostly at the federal level. So It would be a dream to think that the government has not been involved in healthcare for a long time, and that healthcare is not a very active participant in the political process. It has been and will continue to be across the United States, and that ends up in each of the 50 state capitals in addition to Washington, D.C. I do not see that ending. The more government is involved in healthcare, and we know that as a result of the Affordable Care Act, there are more things that tie the providers and the industry to government programs and regulations, the more actively engaged the industry will be in the political realm, if you will, when it deals with legislation. And I do not see that ending. I see it actually increasing as we move forward.
And Deb Fisher Clemens, the political nature, that's something that we have to live with, and something that Avera Health has to consider when you're making decisions, or in this case, working with legislators to come up with effective bills that you think are effective.
Absolutely, that is why actually that Avera many years ago created the role that I'm in is seeing that we needed to have an ability to influence the work that's being done by our policymakers, and to assure that, first of all, that they understand. I mean, we've got a lot of legislators and certainly our delegation in Congress that are not healthcare folks. And so educating them about what healthcare means, how it works, how you determine a quality program, all of those things. I think my role, and I think the role that policies that we have in the policy arena, is to educate about what the work is that we do, and at the same time to try and prevent more regulations. But the reality, as Bob indicated, is that our reimbursement is tied very strongly to policy decisions, to the Medicare, to the Medicaid, and to the decisions that we make based on regulations. And so absolutely, as we move forward, the role becomes even more involved in looking at all of those policies, regulations, and looking how that influences or impacts us as a hospital or as a nursing home or as a health system, how it impacts our physicians, how it impacts our insurance companies. So as you look at how we are all set up as a system across, as systems, the impacts are very different for the different settings, and we need to make sure that we are always doing what is best for the patient.
Deb Fisher Clemens is Avera Health Senior Vice President of Public Policy. We're also joined by Bob Sutton, Avera Health Vice President of Community Relations. Deb and Bob, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're just discussing Medicaid, Avera Health, and other organizations advocating an expansion of Medicaid in South Dakota. Last week, Governor Dugard made a move that could partially expand Medicaid in the state. He sent a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius asking for permission to cover people earning up to 100% of the poverty line in the Medicaid program.